Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done today already. You can make your way back to your seat if you spend some time greeting one another. Thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. Is anyone thankful to be in church today? Amen. Thankful to be here today, and what a powerful service we've already had, and the worship team and the songs that were selected today, so in line with what I want to share today, and I'm just so burdened. It's a burden is a word that we use a lot in church, and to speak about different things that we feel. But today I want to implore that word as a really a depiction of how I feel beginning to prepare for today and bring this message to you that I feel very burdened. It's 2 weeks. We've had 2 weeks of incredible services, and last Wednesday, Pastor John, I was out of town speaking at the Apostolic Conference, which is a conference put on by a church in Mississippi for all current church planting pastors. So they bring different church planters and people that are starting new churches, and I had the opportunity to speak to the students on that day. And so Pastor John spoke Wednesday and did an incredible job, brought a great word as just kind of talking about some church things on Wednesday. And then the Sunday before that, Pastor Kento and the Mexico missions trip, incredible day that day, and people being baptized in Jesus' name. And but today I have a very direct message to bring. I have a very direct thought from the Word of God, and something that I want to share. And even what they sang today, Costly, is really in line with what I want to speak about today. And that's an incredible story. But if you want to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. This passage we pick up, Luke 8 and 43. Said, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, this being Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? The New Living Translation says, Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. Verse 46, and Jesus said, someone hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. We spoke, saying today, virtue is flowing. He said, virtue has gone out of me. The Amplified Version says, but Jesus said, someone did touch me because I was aware that power to heal had gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, when Jesus called her out, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Today I want to preach upon this thought. Press your way to Jesus. Press your way to Jesus. Would you pray with me one more time before we move forward? Lord, I thank you today for your presence that's already been here in such a strong way. God, I thank you for what you've already done. God, as we've sung praises, people have reached out to you in prayer. Lord, I thank you for that. But I want to just pray right now, God, that you would help us to receive from your word. God, to press our way to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You can be seated today. This is an incredible and miraculous story of healing, and Jesus healed this woman with this issue of blood. And I want to jump really quick. It wasn't in my notes, but as we sang today and as we spoke about this passage of the woman breaking this alabaster box, it's kind of a similar interaction, and that's in Luke chapter 7 if you want to read that. But this woman brought this oil that contained this alabaster box of ointment, and she began weeping at the feet of Jesus. She washed his feet, and it's an incredible story, and people are so interested in this. And Jesus speaks to her, and he tells her, he says, I've forgiven thy sins. And then he tells her that he loves her so much. And he says unto her, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, go in, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. In that passage, he says in Luke 7, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And so a similar interaction with this woman. But It's a woman that had this issue of blood for 12 years, and we don't know much about her except for what we see in this story. So four things I want to bring that we understand. Number one, she had an issue for 12 years, an unrelenting problem in her life that plagued her that she couldn't get away from. Number two, she had spent all of her money on physicians. She had gone to every doctor imaginable to no effect. Nothing helped her. She couldn't get a solution anywhere. Number three, we know that she was separated from society. If you read in this time, people that had an issue like this, you would have to be separated from society. You weren't really a regular member of society. And so she was somewhat of an outcast, if you will. And then finally, we see that she made her way through the crowd and in a hidden way, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And so the fourth thing we see about her is that she really didn't want people to know what was going on with her. She liked being secluded. She liked being private. She liked just being to herself. And so I begin with this story today because I believe there are people that have spiritual parallels today. I believe there are people in this room or you're watching online today and you've gone through some things in your life and it's gone on for such a duration that you just believe that maybe, you know, nothing is going to change in my life, or it's an issue that possibly you've dealt with. Maybe it's a physical issue and you yourself have gone to doctor and second opinion and third opinion and nothing seems to help. Or maybe it's not a physical ailment. Maybe it's an emotional thing that you've gone through in your life. Maybe it's a trauma of sorts, and we don't know her exact motivation other than knowing that she had faith. The only thing that she had was faith, and that faith propelled her to press her way to Jesus. I bring this very direct story as a reminder to us today that when we look at this woman and all the complex layers of what was happening in her life, the fact that she made up her mind, I don't care what's going on, I don't care what has beset me, I don't care what other factors are involved, I've got to get to Jesus. And I bring that to you today because I want to encourage someone here that's in this place or watching to allow that same faith that led this woman to rise up in her spirit to rise in your life today. I believe there are people that you've been lulled into complacency in your prayer life. Maybe life circumstances have beaten you down and you find yourself in a situation that if you're not careful, Jesus will pass right on by because today you don't think that anything can happen. But I want to encourage you that you've got to make the same decision that she made in spite of her situations, in spite of what had happened. She said, I am going to get to Jesus. So today I bring a very direct message that you have got to press your way to Jesus today. Press your way to Jesus today. She had faith. So the first thing I want to tell someone is you need to press your way despite how long you've been struggling. You may have had the same issue for years. You may have been fighting the same battles for years, but you need to press your way to Jesus today. You have maybe been to the doctor multiple times, but you need to press your way to Jesus today. You may have tried everything, but you need to press your way to Jesus today because we serve the God that hears and answers prayer. Maybe there's someone today that you've already given up because it's just been too long, that you've prayed prayers time and time and time again. Maybe it's been 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years, like in this story, but can you just have a little bit of faith today to say, oh God, even if I've been struggling for a long time, today I'm going to press my way to you, because if I can just get to Jesus, then anything can happen. During our Connect time, I was walking around speaking to people, and I spoke today that someone had a cancer diagnosis, but went back to the doctor, and the doctor said a year later, you know what? We can't find any cancer. That's today. That's a testimony we've heard today, that people have been praying and believing, and we're standing here today saying that, you know what? We still serve a God that hears and answers prayer. There's a God that can cure cancer. There's a God that can remove tumors. We believe that that same God that did it in this book can do it for you today. But sometimes you've got to press your way to Jesus. You've got to press your way. No matter how long you've been struggling, you've got to make a decision. I am going to get to Jesus. I don't care how long you've been struggling. Press your way to Jesus. Now, this was miraculous for several reasons, but she wasn't even supposed to touch anyone, let alone Jesus. You got to understand something. You can look in the Levitical law, in Leviticus chapter 15, it speaks about this, and it says if a woman has an issue of blood many days out of time of her separation, or if it run beyond that time, then it says all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Verse 27, whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, shall wash his clothes, shall bathe himself in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. So again, we see that the context of this life was that she had to be separated as long as she had this issue. But she had been separated for 12 years. And not only that, but she was not allowed to come into contact with anyone lest she make them unclean as well. So society had set out an order. And I believe that there are people in here that even may I dare say that sometimes even in a church context, there are some things that we would deem unclean. Oh, you've been through a divorce. Well, that's, you know, I don't know if you can get back to Jesus. Oh, these things have happened in your life. Oh, you were on drugs for a while. Oh, you know, you've been an alcoholic for years. Well, there's some things that if we're not careful, we will even say, oh, this is an unclean thing. But we have to understand that she made a decision that, you know what, I have got to get to Jesus. And in the mind of this woman, she had enough faith to say, I know I'm not supposed to do this. I know I'm not supposed to touch anyone. But you know what, I believe there's something different about this man, and there's something that she understood about Jesus that you need to know today, that he is no ordinary man that can be made unclean by your infirmities. He is no ordinary man that is bound by the laws of nature. He doesn't have to bow to anything. There's something that you need to understand today, that even though virtue flowed out of Jesus, he said that I perceive that virtue has flowed out of me, but yet Jesus is the only man that virtue can flow out of him, yet there is no less virtue in him. So no matter what you're going through, there's enough virtue for you here today. No matter how unclean you may feel, there is virtue here today. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let me tell somebody today, there may be some things in your life that you feel that are dead, that you feel are hopeless, that you feel make you unclean, and you can't get back to God, but in him is life, and there is life for you today, but you gotta press your way to Jesus. This woman said, I know what society says. I know society says I can't come back to him. I know sometimes even the church world may feel like this is too far gone, but we serve a God that doesn't care what society says. So sometimes you have to press your way despite what society says about you and say, God, if I can just get to you, I will not make you unclean, but you will make me clean. We serve a God that can hear you. We serve a God that will answer, but sometimes you've got to press your way to Jesus. You got to press your way. I'm so passionate about this today because there are people that come into churches just like ours that hear the wonderful word of God and preach word of God, but they don't do anything with it. They don't press their way. You may say, why are you so excited? Why are you so passionate about this? Because this woman, in the light of everyone else's eyes, she had no business doing what she did. But because she made a choice to press her way to Jesus, her life was forever changed. Jesus is the answer. And you know what? She was uncomfortable. It made her extremely uncomfortable because she wanted to stay hidden. Again, in verse 46 of Luke 8, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. So she came through the crowd secretly in private because, again, she didn't want anyone to understand her issue. She didn't want anyone to know what was happening. And so, you know, one of the things, what I love about an altar call moment, and I'm just going to tell you right now, at the end of this service, I'm going to invite our entire church body to come down, because sometimes the people that need to get to Jesus the most are the ones that are not comfortable doing it on their own. They need to have that crowd. They need to have people around them that are praying, that are beseeching God as well, so that they can feel comfortable enough just to approach Jesus. So what's amazing about this is she wanted everything to be private. And maybe that's you today. You know what the truth is, that you have a public life, that your conversation, but everyone has a private life, which is your inner thoughts. Maybe even things you don't even share with your spouse, things you don't share with your friends, things you don't share with anyone. We all have that private life. And I believe that's what Jesus wants to speak to today. But in this moment, he says, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And verse 47, when the woman saw that she was not hid, when Jesus stopped everything, said, wait, somebody touched me. And they said, what are you talking about? Everyone's touching you. He said, no. Somebody touched me, for virtue has flown out of me. Then she stopped and she came. It says she came before him trembling, falling down before him. First of all, she realized that she could no longer hide. She realized that she had to be seen by Jesus. What is she going to do? She's trembling. She falls down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So she had to kind of reveal parts of her life to Jesus, the most uncomfortable thing. And obviously by her posture, her expectation, I think, was some sort of consequence, almost like she stole something. If you look at her posture, it was almost like, I know I'm not supposed to do this. I know I'm not worthy of this. I know I have no business. Almost like she stole something from Jesus. She comes trembling. She falls down as if to say, please forgive me. This is a posture of forgiveness. But look at the response of Jesus. First of all, everyone around her, she had been with this issue for 12 years. It probably wasn't a secret. They probably knew about her. But look what Jesus says. The first word he speaks to her, daughter. Daughter, he changes the relationship immediately. You are not an unclean person. You are not a forgotten person. You are not an outcast of society. In fact, you are my daughter. Look what he says. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. What's amazing about this, what you need to understand about pressing your way to Jesus, you need to press your way to Jesus because, yes, she was healed in the privacy of the crowd, but Jesus called her out because he didn't want to just heal what she even thought about. He didn't want to just heal her infirmity. He wanted to change her entire identity. So somebody today, you need to press your way to Jesus because, yes, he wants to speak to your issue, but also he wants to say, you are not an outcast. You are not unclean. You are not a mistake. You are not what you have done. You are my son. You are my daughter. So when you press your way to Jesus, yes, he wants to heal you, but also he wants to make you whole and do the things that you don't even know to ask for. But that's why you have to press your way to Jesus, because he can heal you, but then he'll turn around and say, who touched me? Because I want to do something in your life that you can't even fathom. I want to change how everybody sees you. Daughter, son, she was healed in the privacy of the crowd, but she had to be revealed for Christ to speak to her. We see this many times, you know, passage where they let the man down in the roof, the man to be healed, and there's a bunch of unbelievers, people that didn't believe it could happen, and this man that was lame, Jesus says to him, he says, your sins are forgiven. People say, no one can forgive sins but God. So Jesus says, okay, what's harder, healing or forgiving sins? And then he tells him, rise up and walk, and he sends him on his way. What's amazing is that in these passages we see that not only does Jesus want to speak to the specific need, but he wants to forgive sins. You see, this is before Jesus has ascended and the Holy Spirit has been sent, right? They're transitioning from living by the law and having to go through all these requirements. Now Jesus is showing them, no, I have come to bring life. I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So when Jesus interacts with people, when Jesus encounters people, not only does he heal what they need, he also forgives their sins. That tells me a very important thing. Not only does Jesus want to fix the things in your life, but he wants to speak to the depths of your soul and forgive all of your sins so that you can have eternal life. Because at the end of the day, it's not about this life that we live down here. Jesus says, yes, I have come to heal your lands. Yes, I can forgive these things. But at the end of the day, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And in fact, eternal life if you believe in me. So somebody today, you've got to press your way to Jesus, not just for what you need right now, but because your soul needs a savior, because you need Jesus. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, today is your day. You need to press your way to Jesus and say, oh Lord, I need you today. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit today, but you may just have to press your way to Jesus. Healed in an instant. She wanted nothing to do with people. She wanted nothing to do with attention, but she pressed her way through the crowd. But after Jesus healed her, he called her out, but then he sent her on her way whole. So today, you may have to press your way through the crowd. May not be a physical crowd. That day, she had to make a decision to press her way through the crowd. It was uncomfortable. She wasn't supposed to touch anyone. That's got to be difficult when you're not allowed to touch anyone to get away through the crowd, right? But today may not be a physical crowd, but you know what it is? You bring a crowded, maybe a crowded mindset. In your mind, There's some things you've got to deal with in your mind before you can get to Jesus. Maybe you have a crowded mind full of insecurities. Oh, I don't know. If I go down to the front, what are people going to think? Or they think there's something wrong with me. Maybe you have years of emotional trauma that you've tried to figure out, and you've prayed time and time again for God to remove it, and you still haven't. And so your mind is crowded. Or maybe it's the situations of your life. Maybe everything looks fine right now, but when you walk out of those doors, you walk back into circumstances beyond your control, and that's crowding your mind and your thought process, and you can't even hear from God or see God or understand what he has for you. But I want to tell you today that you need to press your way through the crowd, because if that woman would have allowed the presence of a crowd around Jesus to stop her, she never would have received her healing. But at the end of the day, she said, you know what? No matter what is crowding me, no matter what is in between me and Jesus, no matter what other factors exist, I've got to press my way to Jesus. So I want to give that same encouragement to someone today. You've got to press your way through a crowd of mistakes. You've got to press your way through the crowd today. Maybe there's a crowd of your past. Maybe it's a crowd of people that don't believe in you. Maybe it's a crowd of things that have happened to you. But today, if you want to be healed, if you want to be made whole, if you want to see Jesus work on your behalf, you've got to press your way through the crowd. Press your way to Jesus. Another story we see in Mark chapter 10 of this, a similar instance, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, another crowd, blind Bartimaeus, it's his blind beggar, sitting by the highway. The Bible says he was sitting by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. You know what? You need to press your way past the doubters. You need to press your way past the doubt. Because this is what's amazing about this. In a moment, blind Bartimaeus is over here and he's begging. And he's someone that no one else believes should be able to have access to Jesus. And in fact, when he cries out to Jesus, because again, he's blind. He can't just walk and follow Jesus because he's kind of stuck in his own limitations. So he begins to cry out to Jesus. And all around him are people that are speaking against him. Be quiet. Stop doing that. But he makes a decision to press his way through the doubters. And he says, Jesus, thou son of David. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still, because when you cry on the name of Jesus, you command the attention of Jesus. And what's amazing about this is when he gets the attention of Jesus, Jesus changes the entire circumstances for him. All of a sudden, Bartimaeus is no longer the person people saying, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Those same people, after the voice of Jesus speaks, they're saying, blind Bartimaeus, come with me. Let me lead you. Let me guide you to Jesus. So let me just tell somebody, when you get the attention of Jesus, he has the ability to change your entire circumstances. Those people that were looking down on you one day, when Jesus moves on your behalf, all of a sudden they can be the same people that are promoting you and lifting you up. Don't you doubt what God can do in your situation. Don't you doubt what God can do when you call on his name. But maybe today you've got to press your way through the doubters and say, God, people may not believe in me. God, people may have overlooked me. But I'm today saying, God, I'm going to call out for your mercy, because I need you to do something on my behalf. Press your way past the doubters. Press your way past your own doubts. Press your way to Jesus. Also with Bartimaeus, a great lesson. You got to press your way past what's comfortable. You know, it's really interesting. A blind person, the way that they are able to function at a high level is by having a close understanding of everything within proximity to them. My grandparents had a young Korean boy that stayed with them for years, almost like an exchange student that they adopted into their home in Louisiana, and he was blind. His name was Mark, and so I would spend the summers with Mark, and it was so fascinating to me to see the way that Mark just maneuvered around the house. My grandparents, their philosophy was, we're not going to see this as a disability. You can overcome, and you've got to figure out how to do it. So Mark, the entire house, he had little markers set up, and he had things that he knew. And so me being 12, 13 years old, I would mess with those things. I remember taking Mark's toothbrush and toothpaste and hiding them. It's cruel. I understand, like, now I see that was a mean thing to do, okay? So you don't have to look at me like that. I understand. That was cruel. But at the time, it was very funny. We would play tricks on each other. But the thing about Mark, though, is Mark could do whatever he wanted with all the lights off. So if Mark wanted to fight or something, he would just turn the lights off because he knew exactly where I was. He knew the whole room. So he had his own things, okay? So don't feel bad for Mark. Don't feel too bad for him. But here's the truth. So imagine, though, put yourself in that position. Blind Bartimaeus, he has the definition of a comfort zone. He lives in the confines of what he's familiar with. In this area, he's got, you could see this, he's got a mat probably and some different supplies and different things, and he probably has a very determined, or probably a pathway that he's walked multiple times to get towards the city gate and receive some things and go back. So he has a very predetermined life. Everything is comfortable. Sometimes the difficulty is when you accept some things in your life, some limitations, some bad things, all of a sudden those things can become a comfort of sorts because you're used to it. It becomes comfortable. And so sometimes, even though Jesus is passing by, I'm comfortable. I've learned to make do with it. I've learned to live with it. I've learned to be okay with what I'm struggling with. But what's amazing is in this moment, blind Bartimaeus, he cries out to Jesus from his comfort zone. But Jesus, this time, it's different. It's not like with the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't make her way to Jesus. Now, Jesus calls for Bartimaeus. Come out from where you are. Come to me. He sends for him. So Bartimaeus, if you can imagine this, Bartimaeus has to make this crucial decision. I've got to step out from where I am and what I'm used to if I'm going to get to Jesus. And so you got to imagine that Bartimaeus, all these people around, he doesn't know exactly what to do. So how do you think Bartimaeus navigated his way towards Jesus? Two things. Number one, he was guided by the people that knew Jesus. He trusted someone maybe to take them by the hand and guide them to Jesus. But if nothing else, do you know what Bartimaeus could trust? Bartimaeus could trust the voice of Jesus. So let me just tell somebody today, if you want to press your way to Jesus beyond what's comfortable, then you've got to hear the voice of God for yourself. And when Jesus calls you, you've got to get up from where you are and say, oh God, it may not be comfortable for me. This may be out of my comfort zone. I may not be an emotional person. I may not be that kind of person. But if you want to get your healing, if you want to receive something from God, you've got to press your way beyond what's comfortable. Also, it says this about Bartimaeus in verse 50 of Mark chapter 10. And he, being Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Not only that, you've got to press your way without hindrance. This poor man, this Bartimaeus, he cast away his loose upper garment and he came to Jesus. And he cast away everything that might endanger him of tripping or falling or stopping him or slowing his motion. And we understand that when I see Bartimaeus, this casting off of this outer cloak, this cloak that was in some ways protection when it comes to his comfort zone, but when coming to Jesus, it would be a hindrance to him. We see that everyone that comes to Jesus must cast away the garments of our own ability, must cast away the garments of our own self-righteousness, must cast away, as the Bible says in Hebrews 12, every weight and every sin, anything that would hinder us from coming to God. So some of us would be like Bartimaeus. So for Bartimaeus to get from where he was to Jesus, he had to leave his comfort zone, but he also had to cast off that garment. And so for us today, if there's some things that you want Jesus to do for you, before he can do those things, maybe you have to make a decision to lay aside some things. So we would say that's like repentance. Bartimaeus casting off this upper garment was a garment of hindrance when he was getting to Jesus. When he was staying where he was, it was a garment of comfort. It was a garment of protection. But when he was trying to do what God had called him to do, when he was trying to get to the Lord, all of a sudden that garment was now a weight, was now something he had to cast off. So maybe somebody today, you're wanting to get to Jesus. You're wanting to do what he's called you to do. But the thing stopping you from doing it is casting off some things that you know would be a hindrance to you. Casting off some sins, casting off some weights, and repenting and saying, oh God, cleanse me. I don't want anything that would trip me up to get to you. This cloak was a part of his identity as a blind man. He threw it down, probably never to retrieve it again. Now, there's other parallel passages to Bartimaeus. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. In Luke chapter 18, we see this story again. And it came to pass that as he had come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. I know, does this represent inconsistencies? No. This is different accounts from different authors. What this tells me, and this is really, really why I brought this so strongly today, why I feel so burdened, so heavy. What this tells me is that Bartimaeus was not the only blind man present. There were two that were mentioned in Matthew, but they weren't the only ones there. The woman with the issue of blood that made her way to Jesus, I don't believe that she was the only person there that needed something from God. You see, it's not a matter of the presence of God. He's there. Jesus is there. It's a matter of people's commitment to press their way. It's not a question today of the presence of Jesus. It's a question of your decision to press your way to him. The reason you know the name Bartimaeus is not because Jesus was selective with his healing power. The reason you know the name of Bartimaeus is because Bartimaeus cried out when others didn't. Why this is so heavy in my spirit today is I can just see outside the city gates multiple people in desperate need of God to do something for them. And I'd almost see that proverbial like in this room today that there are people with ailments and issues and concerns and questions and circumstances. And for whatever reason, you feel like an outcast in your own life. And Jesus is passing by. And Bartimaeus cries out and receives his healing. Jesus calls for him. The woman with the issue of blood presses her way through the crowd. She has faith. But there are others there, I believe. I truly believe. I can see it with my mind's eye. There's others there, maybe next to Bartimaeus, that after Bartimaeus is gone, Bartimaeus is healed, and Bartimaeus' empty mat lies there, but next to him is another man in need of healing just the same way. But the only thing that is different between Bartimaeus and this other man who we do not know his name is the fact that he did not cry out when the opportunity came. Will you stand with me today? I'm so burdened in my spirit. And I want to challenge us today with this idea, with this thought, with this reality. Now, these people, they had a specific time frame. Jesus was physically walking by them. But we know now that even in this case, Jesus is not confined to one physical location. He's here. His presence is here. It's not a question of his presence. His presence is here. And let me be clear, we are not saved by our works. I'm not saying that we can save ourselves, but it highlights a truth about God. Number one, we can't do it without God, but he won't do it without us. He's not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to force salvation or these things. You have to call upon him. And the reason I've tried to unpack all these different things about these stories is really this entire message is just one simple point. Sometimes you can respond. There's times when Jesus preached and people responded. But these instances, both of these examples, Jesus, it wasn't on his agenda. He was walking from place to place. He was about something else. He was going, he was outside of Jericho. He was actually with the woman with the issue of blood. He was on the way to Jairus' daughter to heal her, the daughter that had died. But in this moment, what we see is that Jesus' attention can be commanded by those who call upon him. So today, in a moment, I'm going to ask everyone that's comfortable to come down to the front, because I believe, as I said earlier, if you look at the woman with the issue of blood, she was probably not comfortable to approach Jesus alone, but because there was a crowd, she felt comfortable enough to get close enough to the master just to touch him. So someone today, let me speak to you. Looking at this woman, maybe you're the person that says, you know what, if it was up to me, nobody would ever know what I'm going through. I would never share it. That's okay. I don't need to know. But please, please press your way to Jesus today. Please press your way to Jesus, because there's healing for you. But again, what's amazing about this is there are people in this place, you have an expectation that, Lord, I want you to heal me. But with this woman, he didn't just heal her. He said, who touched me? And after she came and basically said, it was me, she fell trembling. He changed her life. He said, daughter, not you unclean woman. He said, daughter, daughter. He changed the relationship. He immediately brought her into relationship with him. And again, these instances are really foreshadowings of what Jesus will do through the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized into Christ, we are a new creation. We are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. So today, before I ask everyone to come to this front, I believe specifically I'm speaking to some people that you feel distant from God. You feel like you've got issues that have plagued you for a long time. And if it was your preference, nobody would ever know. You would never tell anyone. And that's okay. But when I look at this story, nobody would have asked her to come to Jesus. But she made a decision. She had just enough faith to say, if I could just press my way to him. Today, you need to press your way to Jesus. You need to press your way despite how long you've been struggling. You need to press your way despite what labels society has put on you. You need to press your way through the crowd of your mind that would want to dissuade you even now. You need to press your way through your own self-doubt. You need to press your way through what's comfortable. And you need to press your way without hindrance. And there are those on that road whose stories were never told simply because they didn't press their way to Jesus. So right now, I would ask, could we all, if you're comfortable, would you mind just coming down to this front and pressing your way and begin to pray? Even if you feel like I'm doing well in my life, there are people that may need something from the Lord. And if you're not comfortable, it's fine. You can stay right where you are. That's okay. I don't want to pressure you. I want to invite you to press your way to Jesus. So right now, I want to begin for us to pray, because maybe you have to press your way and say, Lord, I've prayed this prayer before, but today I need a healing. But blind Bartimaeus, Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what do you need? He wanted to hear Bartimaeus say it. And Bartimaeus said, I need to see. Jesus knew what he needed, but he wanted Bartimaeus to speak it. Say, Bartimaeus, tell me what you need. And Bartimaeus said, I need to receive my sight. So whatever you need from God today, would you begin to speak it out and press your way and say, Lord, I need you. Would you just lift your hands where you are and say, God, I need you. God, I've got to press my way to you, Lord. I got to press my way past my own pain. I got to press my way past my own past. I got to press my way past life's circumstances. I know you've been hurt, but press your way to Jesus. I know you have doubts, but press your way to Jesus. I know you don't know the answer yet, but press your way to Jesus, because in him there is life and there is the light of men. Oh, can we pray all across this place and press